Welcome to the Self-Esteem and Confidence Mindset with me, Johnny Pardo. Welcome back to the Self-Esteem and Confidence Mindset podcast with me, Johnny Pardo. Today, I welcome Laura from New Zealand, where we're going to be talking about powerful habits and your growth. Welcome, Laura.
Hi, Johnny. How you doing?
I'm doing awesome. I know we're opposite times in the day at the moment, so hopefully you're enjoying your Saturday, and thank you for spending some of it with us on this podcast today. So appreciate you.
Oh, thanks for having me on. I'm very excited to talk to you. It's currently Saturday morning, but I love the power of the internet and we can do this.
Yeah, absolutely. So me and Laura are going to dive into the conversation about habits and personal growth, as we're both huge personal growth junkies. So Laura is a mindset coach, NLP practitioner, podcast host, and workshop facilitator based in Christchurch in New Zealand. A beautiful place. Her mission is to help others to live in a more mindful and aligned life, which is awesome. So Laura, tell us a little bit more about yourself and what got you into this area.
So hi, everyone. My name is Laura, like Johnny said, and I'm in New Zealand. And yeah, my self-development journey started about 5 or 6 years ago. So back then, I really didn't have a lot of confidence. My self-esteem was really low. I actually suffered from an eating disorder because I had really such low confidence that I struggled with my body image. I was quite unfulfilled in my role as a teacher and going through that whole uni thing. I thought I had to go to uni and I didn't really know what I wanted to do. So I just did teaching, you know, like the classic, just be a teacher. That's kind of like the easiest thing to do. And so I was just kind of going through life as in, this is the path set out for me. I wasn't really fulfilled or happy, couldn't regulate my emotions and all the rest of it, to the point one day where I just, you know, that overwhelming feeling of I'm in a hole, I'm anxious, I don't know what to do. And I, you know, I was following some girls on Instagram and they started talking about journaling and, you know, the power of actually working on your mindset. So I started YouTubing mindset things and looking at journaling, and actually a Tony Robbins video popped up and I started just binging him because I really, something in his messaging, how he said, you know, you're not your thoughts. Life is happening for you. And I was kind of like, I'd never heard that before. And so that really ignited everything. And I just started feeling better, right? I started feeling the sense of happiness and reduced stress and anxiety and really saw what working on my mindset could do. So now my mission, because I have gone through all of that, my mission is now to help others feel the same and to feel happier and more mindful in their life and not feel like life is just beating them down all the time, that they do have choice and challenges are there to help them grow. It's just how you get through them. So I'm very, very passionate about what I do because I have gone through it myself. So yeah, it's really dear to my heart.
That's awesome, Laura. And thank you for sharing all of that. Yeah, both Tony Robbins fans as well. And like the quote you said there, the life happens for us rather than to us, even though of course it can be difficult in the moment to see it that way. So yeah, appreciate you sharing that. So it sounds like you started like journaling and becoming more self-aware and then going on this journey a little bit. Can you talk to us a little bit more about how much importance you would put on self-awareness perhaps, and perhaps ways people can start to work on this?
Self, if you're listening, I write this down. Self-awareness is your superpower. Without awareness, you cannot really change anything. Okay. So like Johnny's probably talked about on this podcast, you are running like 90 to 95% in the subconscious mind, operating, you know, unconsciously. Just go about your day. What you did yesterday, you'll do again today. Unless you have awareness, you're running on the same thought loop patterns and all of that. So until you bring awareness to your day, you're probably going to do the same thing as you did yesterday, even if you know it's not very good for you. So ways that I personally have built my self-awareness and things that I say to my clients is journaling is huge for self-awareness. Because you're actually identifying, oh, this is how I'm feeling. Sometimes we don't even check in with ourselves and identify how am I feeling? What am I actually thinking? Why do I think like this? So it's a huge, powerful tool. In the simplest way, people say, well, how do I journal? And I get it because I had no idea how to journal. The easiest way I say to people is simply just ask a question, ask yourself a question and answer it in your journal. Really easy. And then the other thing that I would say is meditation has really helped me with, you know, tuning into my thoughts and actually just being aware of my thoughts and not being so lost in them, which I coach my clients through a lot of mindfulness techniques and things. And that's awareness is a component of mindfulness. That is mindfulness is awareness. And, but being aware and not judging yourself when you notice, oh God, I'm thinking this terrible thought, you have to come at it on an angle of a non-judgmental stance. So those are the two components. So I would say definitely start with journaling and then give meditation a go to really start to observe your thoughts rather than being lost in them.
Yeah, some great starting points there. So thank you for sharing those, Laura. So one common thing I often hear is I'm very, very busy. I've got a busy life. In my personal opinion, everybody's always busy. But what would you say to someone if they were perhaps thinking, I want a journal, maybe that's a good idea, but how on earth do I find a time to do that?
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say look at your day. If you have time to scroll on Instagram, you have time to journal, and that's an excuse. You make time for the things that you find important. And I know that's really blunt, but it's kind of a wake-up call that people need to know. I love, there's a TikTok sound going around, and it's Joe Rogan, and he's like, if a camera crew were following you around the whole day, what would they actually see? So this is where, like, you could ask yourself this question in your journal, how am I spending my time? And if I say I have no time, actually write down everything that you do in your day. If a camera crew was following you, what are you doing? And if you can't take 5 minutes in your day, even if you're scrolling on your phone, then I would say you need to get your priorities in check. And that's really blunt. I'm sorry, but it's actually the truth. True.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, if you can't find 5 minutes, you don't have a life. But that's probably a bit more blunt. That's what Tony says all the time. If you can't find 10 minutes to do this or whatever. But yeah, if you know, it can start small, I think you're saying, and just asking yourself how I can find more time, because there's always, and it kind of comes onto our topic about habits. We're doing habits that are using up our time. We're not always, most of the time, we're not even conscious to them, because quite a lot of our behavior comes from that subconscious mind, right? So in terms of if we want to start a new habit, for example, we think in general, perhaps not necessarily journaling, but in general, how would you help get people to go about that, whether it's drinking celery juice or whether it's working out or whatever? I know we both like celery juice, so that was my first example.
Love a celery juice. Honestly, so good. Okay, so what I would say, very first thing is go back to why you want to start that habit. Okay, if you don't have a strong why and you're just doing it because you've seen someone on Instagram drink celery juice and you think it looks cool, then I don't think you're going to stick to that, because you don't have a really strong why. Why gives you drive in the times when you don't really feel like doing something, okay? So I'd say have a really strong why. And then also, the way I start a new habit is stack it with something that I'm already doing. So your brain needs a cue. So say, after I have my coffee in the morning, or after I poured my coffee and made my coffee, then I'm going to journal. It's you kind of stack it on top of things that you're already doing. And then afterwards, I would say also make it short, make it easy, have your journal in a place where, I'm just using journaling, for example, have your journal out ready. So your mind sees the visual cue. make it a short amount of time, spend 2 minutes doing it the first day and then build it up. And then afterwards, actually your brain needs a reward. So something to reinforce the habit. So that might be actually just saying to yourself, hey, great job today. Or like, I don't know, you could treat yourself that day or whatever it is, but giving yourself that little hit of dopamine will reinforce the habit. So, and this is all from, what I'm talking about is all from James Clear, his book, Atomic Habits.
I follow it. Yeah. Love that book. One of my favorite books.
Yeah. Amazing. Highly, highly recommend that book. Honestly, it's so good. But that's the cycle of a habit. And then the other thing, which I teach my clients, is the neuropathways, the actual neuroscience behind forming a habit. So something is hard in the beginning because you do not have a neuropathway, which means the two neurons that fire and wire together in your brain. So when you have a strong neuropathway, something is easier because it becomes more automatic, the stronger the neuropathway is. So when you're starting something new, of course you're going to have resistance. Of course it's going to be just uncomfortable because there's no neuropathway there. The research around it, I've read many articles. Joe Dispenza talks about the neuropathways take honestly nearly 2 months, 66 days, not 21, to actually form a solid neuropathway. So in amongst that, you actually have to be consistent and show up. It's okay to miss a day, but consistently know and visualize the neurons firing and wiring together. And so if you're consistent with that, you're actually making a habit, because all the habit is something that you do automatically, right? Like subconsciously almost. So I would say keep consistent for at least 2 months. So many people start something right in the first week and then they give up. No wonder they give up, because they haven't got a neuropathway. We used to teach the children, it's called prickly learning. Things are hard in the beginning because the neurons aren't there and it's going to be prickly hard. So keep that in mind as well.
That's amazing. I love some of the tips there. It's the habit stacking, make it easy. That's a key thing, because you're going to be doing it for a while. And a lot of what you're saying, people give up at the beginning, and then we live in this world of instant gratification. It's quite easy to do that. Oh, this isn't working. I've done this Joe Dispenza meditation for 2 days. Oh, it's not working. Of which I'm exploring with him more recently. He's got some great work out there. love what you're saying about the neural pathways, and it's just a way of how habits are forming. But again, your brain's going to use a lot of energy, right, to form these. So we shouldn't do too many at once, right?
Start simple. Like my morning routine, when I started my morning routine, I wanted to do it all. Like all the girls on Instagram, they're journaling, they're visualizing, affirmations, they're going to the gym. But I actually just started with getting up on time. And going to the gym. And then I got up on time, went to the gym when I got that down pat. And then I did journaling. And then I added meditation. And then I added, all the rest of the things. Because otherwise, it's too much for the brain, right? And then that's the other thing where I know that I found in the past, if I try and do too much, my brain just goes freeze, too much. I'm not going to do anything at all. And I'm sure if you're listening, you can think of a time where you've taken on too much, or it's too overwhelming, and you just go, oh my God, I'm just going to give up.
Yeah, totally. I totally relate, especially as achievers. It's like, I want to fit as many things in my day as possible. It's like, I've got to do all these things. I used to be like that. You've got getting your 2.5 hour morning routines and things like that. They get exhausting. And you'd actually get any work, as much work done as you'd like to. So yeah, can definitely relate to that one. So kind of on the flip side, the other side of it, how do we go about getting rid of perhaps habits that don't serve us as well?
Mm-hmm. So going back, I'm going to refer to James Clear again, because he is the guru of habits, atomic habits. So he says, if building a habit, you want to make it easy, attractive, then do the opposite. Make it hard. If you want to break a habit, make it hard to do the thing that you need to do. you know, don't, e.g., here's a really good example. If you want to eat more healthily, don't have snacks in the cupboard, you know, like don't have them visible to your eye, because it's obviously you're going to go automatically and grab the snacks. It's just such a habit. So don't have them there. And make it unattractive, you know. So I don't know. What's an example that I can give? I think with the foods, the easiest, just thinking about the thing that I do, if I go back to me, is I bring the consequence of that to the front of my mind. So if I continue down this path, what is this going to cost me emotionally? What is this going to cost me physically? If I continue doing this, what is the actual consequence of this for me? Mm. And that sometimes helps me, because we either do things to gain pleasure or to go out of pain. And if we see the pain in the front of our consciousness, we're more likely not to complete the habit, right? To stop the habit. So highly recommend you do a journaling exercise on that as well. I've actually done that myself. What is the consequence of if I continue doing this for myself?
Love, yeah, I'm glad you've touched upon that one. I tend to do that with food sometimes. It's not only a physical disadvantage, like I'm going to feel more tired, my energy's going to drain. I'm usually not so concerned about, like, you know, some people might think about the putting on weight, but for me, it's about the energy rather, what it's going to do to my energy, and I need that energy. But mentally, the brain fog, what's this going to cost me, and therefore going to cost me in productivity, and various things like that. And I can even, you can even see that in the way you speak to people, just your brain just fizzes up. So that's an example of how I've used it in food as well, just to keep away from things sometimes. And then if you have too much sugar, you get anxious. So that's kind of, that can trigger off anxiousness and things like that. So I love that you referred to James Clear again as well. So one thing I wanted to touch on was there's a few things in this podcast, obviously, but the power of community and how much of an impact that had on your growth and forming good habits.
Oh my goodness. So yes, this is very dear to my heart, because without the community, we were in the same coaching program back in a few years ago. And honestly, it's changed the trajectory of my life, honestly. And the saying goes that I hear a lot on social media is, you know, if you surround yourself with 5 drug addicts, you may just be the 6th. And if you surround yourself with 5 millionaires, who knows, you may just be the 6th. Not saying that you might not be, but who you surround yourself with really does affect your behaviors and your thought patterns and your beliefs. And when I joined the coaching community and actually saw that people who were up here and I looked at what was actually possible, I started to come up here and rise with them and hold the same beliefs and what was actually possible for me to reshape that thinking in my brain of what is actually possible, because we've all got infinite potential, right? But it's those core beliefs, it's that belief system based on your environment and based on your appearance and all of the rest, what's happened to you, that does affect all that. So if you're looking to really up-level, who you surround yourself with matters. So go reach out to people and go start talking to people online that look like they're doing the thing that you want to do, and literally reach out to them. It's the coolest conversation. I think this is the best time era to do that too, because you know, sometimes in the real world, in your hometown, you might not have people who, you know, are as spiritual as you, or you feel like, oh, no one's like me. No one's got the same beliefs as me. And that's fine. Guess what? You have the internet now. Go search up some hashtags on spiritual gals and, you know, just go shoot them a DM and you'll surprise yourself. So it's huge. Really surround yourself with the right people so important, Johnny.
Yeah, brilliant. I like try and get the combination of in person and online, but obviously with online, you just got more opportunities as well. Not to replace your in-person interactions and stuff, but you know, you've got more access to different people who might be interested, and you can find someone local to you as well, potentially. So Love that. Yeah. That's great that you feel the same on kind of community. So a couple of kind of questions really left, but, and it kind of links to what you said, what we're just talking about on community. But this is something I'm very, very passionate about. And this is why I keep reinforcing it on every single podcast and asking pretty much every guest. And it's about investing in your own growth. And obviously you can do that to find communities as well. That's how it links. But for you, how important has investing in yourself, time, money, and energy been for your growth?
Oh, next level. Next level. Let me tell you a little story about the money thing. So my money mindset growing up was terrible. And that was based on, you know, my dad had a lot of beliefs around people with money are bad and money's hard to come by. And so I've been doing a lot of work around that since I started my self-development journey, because money is energy at the end of the day. We're not going to go down that route. But so for me to invest money, I really had to flip that mindset, because, you know, if I had that core belief, money's hard to come by, why would I want to invest my money in something else when I thought, no, money's hard to come by, scarcity, fear. So once I started to shift my money beliefs and actually see the value in it and feel the fear and just invest anyway, I started to, you know, buy some programs and buy ebooks and journaling. And I started small like that, right? Mm. And then buying audiobooks, self-development, all the lower level things. And then finally got the opportunity to become a coach and build my business through Rob Dial, who we did his program together. And I remember getting on the phone to him or his people. And he told me the price of the program. And my mind was lit. I was like, there's no way in hell that I can afford this, right? But something inside of me, my intuition, higher power, whatever you want to call it, said, do it, Laura. Even though I did not have the money, and I was about to go into summer, so I wasn't working for the summer because I was teaching, so I didn't have an income. And here's me, oh, yeah, sweet. I'll give you $2,000 right now. And then I had to pay all the rest off over. So I was shit scared to invest that much money. But what it has done for me, it has changed my whole freaking life. If I never invested, I would not be sitting here today. I would not have the opportunities that I have. I would not have stepped into the version of myself that underneath all the conditioning that I actually am. And I would not have started my coaching business. So if I let the fear drive my decision and actually, you know, the money, it's a funny one, isn't it? Like the money will come, and the money did come. Every time I've invested, there's crazy amounts of money to do these programs that I really want to do. Honestly, Johnny, I've never had the freaking money. And I just say yes, because I follow my intuition. But because I do that, the money comes. The money comes.
Yeah, can certainly relate. We've got this. There's different parts for us. There's this fear mind that's there. It's trying to keep us alive, and it's kind of really putting the fear within us. But there's this real part of you, this spiritual, the soul part of you, that really wants something. And when you tap into that, even if you're fearful of, like, no matter how big an investment, there's this aliveness that you feel that you've kind of never, when I've kind of done my first kind of big investments in myself, and I did several after that program, lots more after that, and I grew as a result, it's brought this aliveness. Now, that one decision for me personally could have completely changed where I am today. I could have given into that fear. And that's the difference. I want to be so clear on that tiny difference of just that one decision of going, yes, I'm going to make that leap of faith and go for what I really want. If it's even in the slightest bit logically possible, I'm going to do it, rather than giving in. And that can just be that one difference. We're not different from anyone else. It's just that tiny little leap we took in those instances. It's a single decision can make that. So I'm really glad you shared your experiences. I'm so glad you the courage you always show and the energy you always show and show up with in the community as a result for investing in yourself and bring it to other people. And that just goes to show, you know, as an example, the rest of us. So yeah, thank you for sharing that experience with us as well.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I think it's so important, you know, people relate through stories as well. So, you know, if you're listening and you are at that point where you think, actually, I do want to do that course, but I don't have the money, just do it. Just do it. You'll honestly, I can 100% guarantee you, you'll get the money back. And all, like I said at the start, money is just energy.
Mm.
Money is just energy.
It's not a lack of resources. Often the case, it's resourcefulness.
She said,
so yeah, 17-year-old kid found $12,000 from going to every bank to get him a loan. They all said no, except the last one. Walt Disney did that. The KFC, not that I, you know, promote KFC, but the KFC guy did that. There is examples. Those who really succeed are scared. They're fearful like us. But it's just about getting resourceful and really being willing to take to that next level. So obviously, if it is completely out of the picture right now, like if someone asked me to pay $1 million to them tomorrow, but if it really made a difference in my life, I'll get resourceful enough to try and find it some way. But yeah, so I'm glad you covered that as well. So Laura, it's been an amazing conversation with you today. So are there any kind of any final points you might leave us with?
I truly want to say, if you're listening, I say this a lot on my Instagram. So if you don't follow me on Instagram, it's _LauraEves. Very active on there. It's my main platform. But I always tell people, you can be, do, and have anything in this world, but that does not go without working on your mindset, healing and growing, and, you know, stepping into that version of yourself that you really wish to become, surrounding yourself with the right people, investing in yourself, believing in yourself, and setting yourself up with really good habits that embody that of which you desire. Okay. Start small, but ultimately hold that belief that you can be, do, and have anything in this world. And if you're at a point now where you think, I'm not right there, there's something wrong with me, please know there's nothing wrong with you. You can really make whatever you want for yourself, but you just do need to put in the work. And that's something that I'm really passionate about helping my clients with. So if this is resonating with you and you really feel like you're ready to live a more mindful, aligned life, reduce your stress, feel happier, then I do offer a bunch of services, one-to-one coaching. I have a couple of group programs that would benefit you if you're listening and resonate to this. So just all my information is on my Instagram, but come over there and find me and give me a follow. But yeah, Johnny, I just, you and all the other people online who I follow as well, really, let people know that that's the truth. That's true for them too. Like, you can really do, be, and have anything.
Certainly. Great final words there. So if you want to reach out to Laura, the best place is Instagram to find you at the moment. And you've got various resources on there and you can contact and speak to Laura. So we'll be sure to put that in the description.
Thanks, Johnny.
Awesome. So once again, a big thank you for sharing all the value you have today, Laura. So thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Awesome. So that concludes our episode for today. But remember, work on your self-confidence every single day.